So over the past week, I have had two of the gifts, the gift on giving. The first of which was a cold that you're hearing a little bit of this morning, and the second of which is the gift that keeps on giving, which is jury duty. Admittedly, like most people, I was first put off by the summons to be a standby juror, but I reported last week Tuesday, and then on that afternoon, I was picked to serve on a jury for a civil case. 3.5 days last week, and presumably 4 or so of next week, I will be serving on a jury. And thank you to President Lincoln for having a birthday, which means we get Tuesday off. So if you've ever served on a jury or are a lawyer, you know you can't discuss the case nor research the case, so don't worry. I won't be going there, but what I can share with you is that I have discovered, or really renewed my appreciation for, something that lawyers really love, and that is that they love a good loophole. So as we might say, lawyers have a deep appreciation for the loophole. Lawyers and loopholes, well, they go together like two peas in a pod. They go together like peanut butter and jelly, or as in our house, the favorite is like hot cocoa and marshmallows. And if lawyers go together like with loopholes like that, I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that when it comes to lawyers and loopholes, that pairing isn't a new thing at all. And that Jesus, he had to as well deal with lawyers and their loopholes. And unlike the suit-wearing, friendly lawyers that we all know and love, and yes, there are some lawyers here today amongst us, and we have some wonderful people who are lawyers in our congregation. Those nice lawyers are not the kinds of lawyers that Jesus had to deal with. Jesus had to deal with the not-so-nice ones. Now, the lawyers that Jesus had to deal with, they were the Pharisees, the lawyers of Jesus' day. And the Pharisees, they were two things in the context of the time of Jesus. They were the group of leaders that the Roman Empire, used to rule Israel, who was a vassal nation-state of the Roman Empire. They also were the experts in the law. The law, as it was called, and Jesus would have called it, the law was those 613 commands highlighted by a certain famous top 10. But these 613 commands were they made up the law, and they were the experts in it. Now, these commands that we can count to 613 are found in the books of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And these Pharisees were experts in the 613 commands. But it wasn't just the 613 commands. It was also everything that they had added on top of it, the Pharisees. That means that they included the control over the means and methods of how you would follow the commands. Not only that, how you would pay for it as well, how you would afford the offerings. And then on top of that, they were also in charge of the interpretation of what it all meant. And so it was their subjective summation in a game of semantics. Now, it would have been bad enough if they were just experts in the law who had all 613 memorized. Then they would have been like a Google search for the law. I mean, that would have been bad enough. But what they did actually was they took those 613 laws and it made it feel like there were 613,000 commands for the people. And not just commands, 613,000 burdens, 613,000 ways in which they were God's favorites and everyone else wasn't. 613,000 ways to have loopholes to keep them in power and you in the dirt. Now, were there some Pharisees who were good people? You bet, absolutely. And were they all just trying to do what they thought was right to keep the people safe? For sure. But did they also need to be put back in their place? Yeah, they needed to be set back some. But that's what Jesus would do. So one day when the Pharisees decided they would try to test Jesus, they came up with a test of wits. According to what we find in the Gospel of Matthew, they had just heard that Jesus beat the Sadducees, their sort of lesser peers, in a battle of wits. And so the Pharisees thought, well, heck, it's our turn then. And the fact that they would have done this would have been no surprise to anyone. So the Pharisees, because they were constantly trying to show people how smart they were, so they set out to test Jesus on the law and the loopholes that they would create. They were trying to put him in his place, which they thought was below them and behind them. So what they wanted this upstart teacher to just, who was at best an annoyance to them, but at worst, he was also a threat to them. Either way, they thought it was time to teach this whippersnapper a lesson or two. So they went up to Jesus and asked him this particular time, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Now, the reality is that they weren't really asking. They had their answer, and the way they were seeing if Jesus knew the quote-unquote right answer. And so Jesus replies to them and gives them a solid and acceptable answer. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And the Pharisees, having heard that, would have thought to themselves, "Well, good answer, Jesus. This guy knows the law. He knows our law. And maybe he isn't going to be such a problem after all. Hey, you know what? Maybe he's Pharisee material. I mean, you know, Jacob will be retiring soon, and the rest of us, well, we ain't getting any younger. You know, we got this Saul guy, but is there really anyone else under the age of 40 in the group?" But then something happened that they and no one there that day would have expected. Jesus opened his mouth to speak again. Now, before we get to what he said, let me pause here for just a second. Let's go back to the question. Their question was, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, it might have been a trick test, a trick question, but if you'll notice, they were looking for a singular answer. What is the greatest commandment? Not what were the greatest commandments. So literally no one there that day would have thought that Jesus was about to say anything else. And, you know, well, what assuming does when Jesus is involved. It's not a good idea. So imagine that Jesus were supposedly here to take the mic again. And everyone, the Pharisees, the disciples, the crowd gathered, would have held their breath. Jesus' followers, the disciples, they would have been like, "Oh no, Jesus, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. We really could have used a short day, Jesus. I mean, we really could have used a day without controversies. You beat the Sadducees today. Isn't that good enough? I really got to get home. You know, there's things to do." And the Pharisees, oh man, they would have been licking their lips and their chops, and they would have said, "This is about to get so easy. Now he's going to say something, and he'll say anything, and we'll have him. And then we can tell all the people that he's wrong, and we can tell them that they've been following this false rabbi, somebody who doesn't know his stuff, and then we'll be telling them that he's a teacher who isn't worth following." And the crowds, well, the crowds would have been excited to be there that day. And they would have thought, "Popcorn, popcorn, get your popcorn. Jesus and the Pharisees are about to go on round two, and the gloves are coming off." And then everybody would have leaned in. And then Jesus spoke. And he said, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, the text really doesn't say how people reacted, but I think it's safe to say that the Pharisees were somewhere between happy and excited. I mean, happy that their trap worked, and excited that Jesus had made it so easy for them to trap him. And the disciples, well, they were probably thinking, "Well, I thought we were going to get the day off, you know, and get home early today." And the crowd, I mean, who knows what they were thinking. Now, if they didn't see the second answer coming, they surely didn't see what was coming next. Jesus asks the Pharisees a question that they can't answer. And if they couldn't answer, then no one was daring to ask him any more questions, that being Jesus, that day. And when they didn't have an answer to his question, well, Jesus launched then into what can only be described as a Jesus smackdown. And let's just say that Jesus brought it that day. He just completely obliterated the Pharisees in front of the crowd. Now, he launched into them in a way that only Jesus can get away with, and I really don't suggest trying this at home. But Jesus, well, he goes for the jugular. And here's what he says. He says, "You Pharisees, I mean, you ain't fair, you see. You make it impossible for the people to follow the law. You create a burden for them, and you don't carry the same burden. You open the loopholes for yourselves and close it for them. You exalt yourselves when you should be exalting God. You blind guides. You might give burnt offerings, but you've neglected the weightier matters of justice, of mercy, of faith. You hypocrites. You brood of vipers. Down go the Pharisees." Jesus lands the knockout punch. I mean, the Pharisees, they were done. They were cooked. And they were mad. they didn't respond. I mean, they hadn't seen it coming, and they were just concerned. They didn't know what was coming next, and they were concerned because Jesus had just totally demolished their authority over the people. The Pharisees, they were just ready to leave. And now they didn't see Jesus as someone worth saving or worth protecting or anything like that. And in fact, they probably saw him as more of a threat than they had ever before. And so it says in the text, and we're not sure how quickly thereafter, but either right thereafter or soon thereafter, they started making the plans to have him arrested and presumably killed. Quite the day for Jesus and the Pharisees. I mean, they wanted to get rid of him for a variety of reasons, but it all could be summarized at least in one way or another in this one statement. Jesus closed the loopholes. He closed the loopholes that kept them in power. Jesus closed the loopholes in their lives and in the law that created a sense of separation of the people from God. And I mean, Jesus closed the loopholes. And what did he do? He replaced the loopholes with love. Jesus was telling them that no longer do you have to suffer through a version of our faith that is resistible. And no longer do you have to live with a faith that is filled with loopholes. Jesus said, no more. Jesus said, I will show you a better way. I will be a better way, he would say. No more loopholes. Instead of a life led by the law filled with loopholes, how about a life led with love? It'll be harder, but it will be, oh, so much better. So instead of calling the people then to a journey of faith that would be led by the law filled with loopholes, Jesus called them and then us today, that calls us into a journey of faith led by love. Now, it's a much higher standard to try to follow or to live up to, but a faith journey that is led by love is a faith journey that is indeed irresistible. Because a life filled with love is an irresistible testimony to the life-changing God that we are loved by, and that life-changing and irresistible message that God has given to us, that everyone is loved by God. That everyone is loved and valued by God, and that God wants them as part of the family. That is the irresistible message that is fueled by this irresistible life led with love. Jesus closed the loopholes because in the law, they were a problem. And in the new covenant, they were unneeded. Because in the new covenant, the one that Jesus teaches, the one that Jesus is all about, he says we are to live by a new command. A much higher command, the one where we are called to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And when we live by the command of the new covenant instead of a law lived with loopholes, we have an irresistible life. And that gives us an irresistible testimony about the beautiful life God wants for us. So what does it look like? What does it mean if we have a life led by love and not by loopholes? What does it look like? Well, we know that if we lead with love and not with loopholes, we're going to have a life that is filled with patience, and it'll be joyful. We will be filled with kindness, and we'll live with peace. We'll be people of peace. We won't be envious. We'll be filled with goodness. We won't be boastful. We'll be faithful. We won't be arrogant. We'll have the self-control we need. The rudeness will fade away. We won't insist on always getting our own way. We won't be chronically irritable nor chronically resentful. When we lead with love and not with the loopholes, we don't keep a record of wrongs committed against us. We'll celebrate truth. We bear with one another instead of against one another. We put the needs of others ahead of our own. Loopholes, well, they let you take the low road instead of the high road. Loopholes in life allow for decision-making that is based upon the lowest common denominator. And all of these things are not filled with love. Instead, if we live a life filled with love and not with loopholes, indeed we will strive to live into that greater standard, the highest standard, the one where we love others as Christ has loved us and treat people as Christ has treated us. We'll have a life filled with love and not loopholes. It'll be a life that is so irresistible. We'll have a faith that has helped us to put love into action. And as we put love into action, and that's something we'll come back to next week. Now, Jesus wants us to live with love leading the way and not loopholes. He wants us to live lives that are not burdened, but ones that are lifting of burdens. If we have a life that is led by love, it is a truly irresistible life. It's the life that God wants for us. It's the life that God wants for all people. And in that life, it's the one that God wants for the whole world. So Jesus is calling us and inviting us to have lives where we close the loopholes in our hearts and we lead with love so we can have an irresistible life, one where we are loved by that irresistible God. And when we do so, we show the world how irresistible God's love is for us and for them. So let's lead with love and live with love and not with loopholes. Amen.